Blog Talk Radio.
Great is your mercy towards me. Your loving kindness towards me. Your tender mercy I see. Day after day. Oh, providing for me. Praise your mercy towards me. Great is your grace. Help me say, help me say.
Day after day, He's more.
Everybody, how y'all doing? It's 4:06 on a Friday afternoon, beautiful day that the Lord has made, and you know what time it is. It's time for Sound Off Forms, and I'm your host, George Beverly Jr. I'm trying to get this thing started. Listen, God's been too good to me. I know I've been through some ups and downs, y'all. But hey, listen, God is good. Whether you're in the hole or whether you are in a cup of sores open, hey, listen, God is too good to not give him praise, honor, and glory. I tried to usher in the spirit. Not try, I was ushering into the spirit. I was trying to get everybody into the spirit of the Lord I started off with great is your mercy. Gracious your mercy with, and then I had, if you did it before, he'll do it again by Ty Turbitz. Gracious your mercy would be from Donald McKirklin, and just trying to usher in the spirit. Lots to talk about, y'all, lots to talk about. But once again, I say thank you for being part of the show. If you come in late, please go back and listen to it again. The show's going to be awesome. And let's get into it because there's a lot of information that I would like to cover before we do everything. And I'd like to give a quick prayer. Lord God, thank you for everything you've done for us today. Oh God, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Savior and the creator of this world in our lives, oh God. We ask you that you put a hedge of protection around us. Open our minds, hearts, and our spirits that we get the decrease as you get the increase, Heavenly Father, that you be worshipped, sanctified, and uplifted in this word that you are about to receive, oh God. Let everything I say come from the spirit, oh God, and not from the evil notes of the tongue, of the heart, or the mind, oh God. Only through the spirit shall we be redeemed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Without further ado, we'll go ahead and kick it and do how we always do it. You can find me at Facebook, george.mango.904, or you can find me on Sign Off Forms 97413. You can also find me on Twitter at Sound Off 97413, or you can email me at soundoff97413@gmail.com. A lot of things going on, a lot of moving and shaking, and I'm trying to get this started off right. So if you'd like to call in and give your opinions, if you want to give facts, that would be good too. You can talk about your theology, and I'll sit here and listen to it. If you'd like to call in, area code 347-989-1014. Without any further ado, we're going to read Ephesians 6 through 13. Not with eye service, and I'm as man pleases, but knowing but the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever good thing any man doeth, that shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. And ye masters, do some things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of the persons of him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and put in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore, take upon the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having all done to stand, and let the church say, Amen. Now, I'm going to give you a quick background of where I get my theology from and what I believe, and then we'll go from there. Once again, it's subjective to how you believe. I'm not here to debate whether one theological belief is better than another. I am simply here trying to help people understand the steps to salvation. Simply, that is the goal of here today, is to people understand what salvation is and that you've already have the victory All you have to do is have faith, love, and believe, okay? So I started off when I was growing up as a Baptist. I continue to be. We all know that Baptist is part of a bigger sect called Protestant. And under this Protestant belief, we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we don't believe that Mary's has anything to do with except giving birth to Jesus. And then you got Catholicism, which is another sect. And that's why most of the times you'll hear people say I'm Catholic or Protestant, and we have wars and stuff about that stuff. Now, because I grew up Baptist and understand and trying to understand the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, I fell upon, God led me to what they call apostolic. That's a oneness church, which is Pentecostal. And basically what the oneness church is, it is, like I said, it is a Pentecostal sect of Pentecostal. And we believe that Jesus, and many of people believe, we believe that Jesus is the Father, is the Son, and is the Holy Spirit. So every time they say that Jesus the Son, we are referring to God, and God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Son, and the Son is God. Now, I know it sounds confusing what I'm saying, but all I'm saying is if you say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not names. They are titles. Jesus was given two names, not titles. He's given two names. He was given Emmanuel, and he was also given Jesus, okay? And within those two contexts, those are names, not titles, okay? So I just want to make that clear. Okay, this denomination within this Pentecostal Christianity is whom we should strive to be done Trinitarian, which we don't believe in the Trinity. We don't believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to the point where there's three crosses. We just believe there should be one cross rather than three. And we also believe in what we call the Godhead, God being, of course, the head of God being the head of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That way, when we're talking about God and it's Jesus in the general form, Jesus is God, and God is Jesus. Okay. So when we, and then the other difference is we baptize in the name of Jesus. We don't baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, which I will get into. And once again, I'm not here to debate whether the theology is right or wrong. What I'm here to simply do is give you a background of when I start using terminology, this is where I'm coming from. So that's a brief overview of what I believe and how we're going to go. Okay. So what is salvation? Okay. According to Wikipedia, I'm using other sources as well, it is to is being saved, protected from harm, or being saved or delivered from some dire situation. In religion, salvation states that the saving of the soul from sin is a consequence. Okay? That's coming from Wikipedia. This right here is coming from, freedictionary.com, and it says, one, preservation or deliverance from destruction, difficulty or evil. Bravo, a source or means of sort causes that preserves our deliverance. Two, Christianity, deliverance from the power or the penalty of sin, redemption. Bravo, the agent or the means that brings about certain deliverance. Okay, so we keep hearing this this preservation, this deliverance, saving, okay? I'm not going to get into the Old Testament, but the Old Testament is what we gain what the Jews gained to say that, hey, the Messiah is coming. Where I'm going to start from, and to me this is very important when we start talking about salvation, and it ties into where we get our doctrine from and also get an understanding. Okay, so right now I'm about to go to Matthew 28:16-20, which is the Great Commission, okay? And just listen to me closely as I read it, okay? Because the Great Commission is the commission that was given to the disciples when Jesus came back after the third day, when he came back and he was on earth in the spirit, okay? So 16 says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Okay. Then we're going to go to Mark's account of the Great Commission. Mark 16:14-16. It says, later, he appeared to the 11, and they sat at the table, and he rebuked them their unbelief and hardness of the hearts, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who doesn't believe will be condemned. Now, I want you to see the difference between Matthew's accounting and Mark's accounting, ladies and gentlemen, because it's very specific, okay? What I found out in Bible study, and this is why we should go to Bible studies, because we can get more, gain more knowledge, Matthew was a tax collector, and he was Jewish. He came from a lineage of the Jews, okay? So he first started off when he said the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus told them to go, okay? First, you got to be obedient to what Jesus tells you to do, first of all. The second thing I want to point out is the 11 disciples. Now, we remember that Judas had committed suicide, so there's 11. There's 11 of them, and so it's still just, it's not whole yet. It's not whole yet, but Jesus is talking to them. Then he goes and tells them that he has authority over in everything in heaven and on this earth. Then he tells them, says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you say, well, George, he said, go baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He sure did, and that's what they did. But you must understand that when Jesus told them, he also told them that he was going to send them a comforter. Okay? Let me find that scripture real quick. Because you have to understand the Holy Spirit has not came on the scene yet. Okay? He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we're still speaking about the entity of God. We're still speaking that God is doing this. Jesus has died on the cross, but he has not given them the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has not arisen, has not arose. He has not given them that third piece of the puzzle yet. And this is coming from John 14:26. It says, this is from the New International Version. It says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, of whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Now, hear what I'm saying, okay? It says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, once again, he says, the Father will send in my name. What's his name? His name is either Emmanuel or Jesus, whoever you want to say. But listen, the name is Jesus, okay? We'll teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. So listen, what's going on here, ladies and gentlemen, is that time where Jesus has first given them a command. He has told them and gave them authority. Okay, he has given him. Okay, so let's take it like this. Okay, a soldier goes to basic training. He goes and gets all this training. So let's use this metaphor. As the disciples walked with Jesus, they were getting their training. They didn't know when Jesus would die, if he was going to die. Jesus died. Jesus came back. Some believed, some did not believe. Then he said, listen, I'm giving you authority because now I've got the power to give you authority to go do those things that I'm going to ask you to do in the future. Go ahead and do that, okay? So as the person in the basic training would go, and they may believe in their leadership, they may not believe in their leadership. But they're going to graduate on time. They're going to go AIT and basic training or boot camp. Once they get out, they're going to go to their first duty station, and everything that they learn, they're going to have to remember it, right? They're not going to remember everything. We're talking about 16 weeks, 18 weeks, 14 weeks. You know, just depending on how long they go to basic training or boot camp, ladies and gentlemen. But they said, John said, my Father will send you the Holy Spirit to give you remembrance of all things that I told you to do. So once again, the Holy Spirit has not came on the scene, ladies and gentlemen, has not came on the scene. So now they have the power and the authority from Jesus to go and baptize in the Father and the Son in the name of the Holy Spirit. And you're saying, well, George, are they not being saved? Yes. But it was still another part of the plan, right? And what happens to the other part of the plan, ladies and gentlemen? I'll tell you. It says in John 20:21-23, says, and again, Jesus said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me to send to you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Ladies and gentlemen, are you understanding this now? If not, don't worry. You're gonna grasp it in a second. So what I'm saying is, in the Great Commission, God has been given the authority to give his commanders those authority to go out and baptize, save souls. Okay. Now you said, George, you're talking about the Great Commission. You're not talking about baptism. You're not talking about salvation. Hey, I'm about to break you off a little bit. I want you to stay with me, okay? I want you to stay with me, okay? So I'm going to give you a couple scriptures. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace ye shall save through faith, and that not of yourself, itself of the gift of God. John 6:37. All the Father giveth me shall come to you, and he that cometh to me, I will not know why cast out. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he has given his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Timothy 2:1-9, who has saved us and called us the holy calling, not according to the our work, but according to his own purpose and grace, which has given us where the world began. Acts 4:12. Neither is the salvation in any other, or any of those none other name under the heaven given among men, whereby we be saved. Mark 16:16. He that believeth in the baptism shall he be saved, but he who believeth not shall be damned. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of the sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is very pivotal. I will come back to that one, because that is where we get our doctrine as far as the Pentecostal oneness. Okay, so I'll get back to that. But right now, we're still talking about salvation. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jews first and to also the Greeks. John 5:24, very, very, verily, verily, I say unto you, have ye have heard my word and believeth on me that sent me, have everlasting life, and not shall not come into condemnation, but it is passed from death unto life. John 11:26, and whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth those this. First Timothy 2:3-6. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of Christ, our Savior. Romans 1:14. For therefore the righteous of God revealeth the faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Ephesians 1:3-23. I'm going to go back to that one. John 3:21, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig into it more to pass to hide the treasure. Hebrews 7:25, wherever saved them to the uttermost of that up to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercess for them. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God has given to an eternal life and the life of it in his Son. John 1:2, 1 John 2:3-4. And hereby we do know that we know him in his commandments. James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. By now works of the righteous which is hath done by according to the mercy he has saved us, and washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:8, produce fruit is keeping the with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham our father, for I tell you that out of the stones God will rise up children from Abraham. And that's really neat. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride says, come, and let him who hears you come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let them take free gifts of the water of life. Isaiah 57:12, I will expose your righteousness and your works, and they will not benefit you. Philippians 3:4-11, though I myself have reasons to have such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has a reason to put, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in the regard of the law, a Pharisee, as a zealot persecuting the church. And this is Paul speaking. And as for the legitimacy of righteousness, far flawless. And but whoever was to put profit, I have considered lost for the sake of Christ. What I am more, I consider there everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing that Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, and I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having the righteousness of his own that comes from the law, but that which cometh through the righteousness that comes from God in the faith. I want to know Christ and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of the saving of the suffering being coming like him in the death. And so somehow I obtain to the resurrection from death. Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God risen from the dead, for it is your heart that is you believe and justified, and it is your mouth that you will confess and or be saved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was a good one. I mean, they're all good. But once again, Paul's telling you, listen, you have to believe in the resurrection. You have to believe that Jesus did die. You have to believe in Jesus wholeheartedly with your heart. And then say, you know what? I confess with my mouth that he is my Lord and Savior. And at that point, you shall be saved. Now, you say, well, George, that sounds like a lot of stuff. But listen, it's not. Okay? It's not. So we're about to get into it right now of what majority of people feel right now. They feel some type of way about God, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. Kind of, oh, I don't really know. Listen, we're going to go to John 3, okay? John 3. And this is when Christ is talking to Nicodemus, okay? And it's important to understand who Nicodemus is. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He believed in Jesus after everything that had happened. But he was still straddling the fence. He really didn't know what was going on, ladies and gentlemen. He had an idea. I think he kind of knew, but he didn't want to confess it with his mouth. And so now what he did was he went and he talked to Jesus. And this is the account that we're about to understand because this works in to salvation. Now, I'm going to point out some things that were pointed out to us in Bible study that is very profound. Okay, very profound. And when I get to these things, I want you to sit there, write this down, go back, read it, and then think about it. Now, there was a Pharisee. His name was Nicodemus. Who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you have done and God were not with you. Jesus replied, verily true, I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Let me pause right there real quick. Okay. Jesus told him, very true, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom unless they be born again. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a moment right there. You know how you're driving on a trip and you get your kids in the back saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there? And it gets on your nerves, right? You will continue to drive and drive and drive, and you will never see it unless you be born again. What is being born again? You have to be baptized is what born again is meaning, okay? Now, another way of looking at it. You're not going to be able to see it. So let's say you want to be funny, and let's say you want to go and do an experiment, and you want to be blind for a day. One day you could see, and the next day, because you chose to be blind, you take your sight away. Now all you see is darkness. Take it back, and then your eye starts to focus, and you can see it. What's the difference between you seeing and you covering your eyes when you see in total darkness? The veil. That veil that's between, that gulf that's between your eyes that's preventing you to see the kingdom of heaven is even further than that. We're not even talking on a physical, I'm talking on a physical plane, but you have to understand God, Jesus right now is not talking to Nicodemus on a physical plane. He is talking to him on a spiritual plane right now. He is in the holies of the holies because he knows that Nicodemus understands what he's talking about because he's a Pharisee. But he cannot get into the Spirit because the Holy Spirit has not even come on the scene yet. So now what can he do but give him proverbs to get him to understand or give him parables to, so he can understand, right? So we'll go to 4. He says, Nicodemus. He says, how can someone be born when he is already old? Nicodemus asks him. Surely they cannot enter the second time into the mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very true, I tell you. No one can enter into the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh giving birth to flesh, but not spirit, gives birth to the Spirit. Okay? Now let me say that one again because that's very very important. He says, very true, I tell you, no one can enter in the kingdom of God unless they are born of water. George, what are you talking about? Okay. Water is lowercase. Spirit is capitalized. Now, this is where you have to understand why it's important to understand what the Spirit is, ladies and gentlemen. The Spirit is the entity of God that has been given to us from heaven. Now, you have to understand we already have this Spirit in us because God has given us breath of life through Adam and Eve. To that, we have to repent for our sins. We can't repent for our sins unless we give him an offering. Well, how can we give him an offering? Well, if you read Leviticus, it'll tell you. Okay? So, he says, you can't even take a footstep into the kingdom. But first of all, he tells you, you can't even see it. Then you can't even enter it unless you be born again, born of the water and the Spirit. That's some deep stuff right there, ladies and gentlemen. First, you tell you can't see it, so that means you can look for the kingdom of God, but you won't find it. Secondly, you can't even enter it. You can't even get close to it because you hadn't even been born again. So you can be a good person. You can love. You can try to be as sin free as possible. You can go and donate your time. You can do unless you are born again from the water and of the Spirit. Okay, so let's talk about this. So what are you talking about, George? Listen, remember when Jesus said, go ye, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? That is the baptism. Let me show you the secret. Let me show you the secret. right here, Acts 2. Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they all were together in one place, surrounded. Suddenly a sound like blowing a violent wind came onto them, filling the whole house where they were sitting. They saw that some of tongues of fire that was separated and came to the rest of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What did you say, George? Okay. Let me not get too excited here for a minute. Because when I start talking about this, I get crazy about this Jesus stuff. I'm gonna go back to one, okay? I'm gonna go back to one. Let's see where I'm gonna go. I'm going to go to Acts 1:12. I'm going to start from 12. It says, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called Mount Olives, as the Sabbath day and walked for the city. Then they arrived, and they went upstairs to the room where they were sitting to stay, and they presented themselves with, it was Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon of the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And they all joined together. This is 11 of them, okay? This is 11. They all joined together, considering in prayer, along with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his two brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group of number being 120. 120, y'all. And the brothers and the sisters, and the scripture that had to be fulfilled, in which the Holy Spirit spoke along again through David concerning Judah. So they serve as a guide for those who were arrested with Jesus. He was one of the number of and shared of our ministry, which the payment he received in his wickedness, Judas bought a field where he fell alongside his body, burst open, and all his intestines spread out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this. So they call the field in their language Ecclesiotica, which is the field of blood. For Peter said, it is written in the books of Psalms, may his place be desert. Let there be no one to dwell in it. May others take this place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who has been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus has lived among us, beginning from John the Baptist's baptism to the time that Jesus has taken us. For those who must become the witness of this resurrection. So they nominated two men. Nominated two men now, y'all. Joseph called Barnabas, who's also called Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you will have to be chosen to take us to the apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lots fell on Matthias, who was added to the 11 apostles. So now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, at the beginning when I read the commission, and the commission, it says, Matthew 28:16, it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee. Mark says, Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. Ladies and gentlemen, what it's saying is they needed that to fulfill the prophecy. They needed that whole number 12. They needed it. So now Matthew has been promoted to an apostle. So now there's 12. And on the day of Pentecost, the rushing wind came in and gave them the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit enabled them. Okay? So now, I'm going to skip down, but you can read this for yourself, but I'm just going to give you the meats and potatoes of it because this is you need to go back and read it for yourself so you can get an understanding and so you don't think I'm making this up, okay? This is all coming from the Bible, y'all. So we're in Acts 2:29. Fellow Israelites, this is Peter talking right now. Peter's talking. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you considerately that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he who prophet and knew that God had promised him the oath that we would place one of these his descendants on his throne, seeing that was to become. He spoke of resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of death, nor was it able to be see his body decay. God has risen this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses. You understand what I'm saying? He is telling you once he said, okay, Peter stood up and said, well, we need witnesses. You remember that 120 people? Those 120 people witnessed that Matthew was now the 12th disciple. They witnessed that Jesus had resurrected from the grave and spent time with them while he was on earth, 40 days. They were the witnesses. 33 says, exalted to the right hand of God, he has received the Father and promised the Holy Spirit and has poured out what you see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at the right hand until I make your enemies a footstool of your feet. Therefore, let all Israel assure that this, that God has made this Jesus, whom they crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut in the heart and said, Peter and the other apostle brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There the promise is for you and your children and all of whom you are all far off, for all whom the Lord God will call. Which many of these words were heard to them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from the corruption generation. Those who accept this message were baptized, and 3,000 were added to the number that day. Now that we understand the difference between the Father, Son, and the Holy being baptized in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and being baptized in the name of Jesus, we see the progression. Because they were baptizing them, but the prophecy was not fulfilled until the 12th disciple. Not until the 12th disciple was there when the Holy Spirit was there. And then the covenant was completely filled at that point. The Holy Spirit came, rushed over them like a rushing wind, giving them the ability to speak in tongues. And as you see, ladies and gentlemen, as you see by Scripture, how do you get your salvation? You get your salvation by the water. You get your salvation by the Spirit. How do you get to the kingdom of heaven? Repent of your sins. Repent of your sins and believe that God is your Lord and Savior in your life, and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Now you're saying, well, George, you know, I've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Does it make a difference? Not really, no. You have to know who Jesus is. If you've been named in the Father, the Son, and if you have been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, then so be it. You've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But listen, you must understand who God is. And then once you understand who God is, then you're still covered. You have been baptized, immersed in water. If you've been immersed in water, that's between you and God. I'm not the judge. I'm not sitting here on a high horse trying to get you to agree with me or disagree. I'm simply giving you the gospel and what the Lord has delivered in my heart and my spirit. Now, we're going to go back to John 3 with Nicodemus. Excuse me. We're at verse 6. Flesh giveth flesh to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. Now, in the Spirit, the first Spirit is capitalized, the second Spirit is not capitalized. Because when it's capitalized, it's talking about Jesus. And when it's not capitalized, it's not talking about Jesus. You should not be surprised at my saying, you may be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear it, the sound, and you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So with everyone who is born of the Spirit, how can that be? Notre Dame said. Nicodemus asked, "You are an Israel teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very true, I tell you. You speak of what we know and what we testify to and what we have seen, but still you believe, people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you the earthly things, and you do not believe. How would you then believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who comes from heaven, the Son of Man." Now, remember this, ladies and gentlemen, the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus. So when God says, I have loved the world, I have given my only begotten Son, he is not referring to his Son. You say, well, George, how can Jesus give his Son? Well, this is the metaphor in which he is telling you, ladies and gentlemen, he is the Son of Man, the cherubim who has four faces, which it has an eagle, a lion, an ox, and human. Those represent the creatures on this planet with great power. Now, so if you take that cherubim, and then you transfer and say, well, who's the Son of Man? And you'll say, Jesus. So, Son of God, meaning Son of Man, Jesus. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God do not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world themselves. Whosoever believeth in him is not condemned. Whoever do not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God, one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light because of the deeds with evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and we will come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what we have done has been done in the sight of God. ladies and gentlemen, is Nicodemus, okay? Let's take a look at a summary of this, because it's important that I say it that people won't get confused. Go back, look at the chapters that I was talking about. The first chapter that we talked about was Matthew 28, 16 through 20. This is the Great Commission. Then we also went to Mark 16, 14 through 16, which was the Great Commission. Then we went to John 20, 21 through 23. Then we jumped to Acts 1, 19 through 20. Sorry, that's we went through. Excuse me. Look, Acts 1, 12 through 20, 26, 12 through 26, and then we went. You know what? Just go ahead and read the whole Acts 1 and whole Acts 2. You know, it'll give you a better insight. Let me read this real quick. It's in 70. It says, he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, he said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the date of the Father has set by my own authority, but it will receive the power of the Holy Spirit come unto you, and you will be on your witness in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria will have the ends of the earth. After that, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes on a cloud, held him from them in sight. So, once again, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is not conflicting. It is pieces of the puzzle that all fits together into the works of God. So now that you understand the Great Commission, tells the disciples what to do. Now you have to remember that the disciples are not whole until Acts 1. Let me give you a time frame. Let me see if I can find a time frame of when. Because it's important to kind of understand what's going on, okay? So this is all this is BC, okay? Jesus' death and resurrection was between 30 and 33 A.D. Excuse me. Yeah, this would be A.D. And then Paul writes to the Galatians between 48 and 58 A.D. Then Mark and Matthew writes their books at 50 to 60 A.D. around the same time, and then Paul writes First and Second Thessalonians, and then he writes the spring of 55 A.D. of First Corinthians, then he writes Second Corinthians in 56, and then he writes Romans in 57, then he writes Colossians, the Philemon, Ephesians, Philippians, all in 60
invokes Philippians in 61. Let's see. 62, Luke writes his book. This is 60 A.D. Then Luke writes Acts in 62 and 64. Paul writes 1 Timothy in 62 through 64. The mid-60s, 1 Peter was written, and then 64 to 68, Paul writes 2 Timothy in prison, and then he finishes, then Peter writes 2 Peter from 67 to 68, and then Hebrews was written in 60, and then Jude was written in 69, and John was written in 85 A.D., and the first century was 1, 2, 3 John, and 95 and then 96 was written, the Revelations were written by John. So just giving you, you know, a quick backdrop of everything and to kind of give you an idea that, listen, they don't all fall in the same categories like we see. Some was written before, some was written after, and they just fall together and fall into pieces, and they, once they find the letters, they put them all together. So just remember that Mark and Matthew was written around the same time. So at this point, we know that if they're written around the same time, their ideas. So let's see. Jesus had died in 30, between 30 and 33. He died in 33 A.D. And then the book was written, looks like 20 years later, between 20, 30 years later. Okay? And so it wasn't like Jesus dies, they write a letter, and boom, there's a book. This is 20 to 30 years later, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of things going along. So as we go and we refresh and we look at things like that, we have to understand, listen, salvation is easy. Be baptized in the name of Jesus, repent of your sins, and believe that the Lord God is the Lord and Savior. I'm George Beverly. Have a great weekend. And the next time I see you, you should be signing off. God bless.
touch it. New thing. This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. Nobody has to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't. Tell them this, tell them this, tell them this.